And very pleased to welcome my friend back from holiday. It's Nicola Tookie for Critter of the Week. Hi.
Ahi ahi marie.
Man, we're all living vicariously through you and your Instagram page over the last couple of weeks. Where you been, man?
Well, I've been working, and you know how quite often I talk about, or you mock me about sitting in meetings all day.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite parts of the segment.
But one of the privileges of my job, of course, is you know, being able to have some responsibility for the places, these special places in New Zealand. One of which is Araki Mount Cook National Park. Very special to me. Very special to anyone and everyone connected to Ngāi Tahu, in terms of it being an anchor to Ngāi Tahu's identity here in Te Waipounamu, as well as the rest of us, actually, because when you drive down that road and you see that mountain, it is a wonderful and quite moving experience. And I'm sure I've talked about this before, but when I was Hunter's age,
yeah,
so he is seven, I lived in Araki Mount Cook National Park, so I always feel like I've gone home when I go there. So I had to go there for work. I had a week of work in Araki Mount Cook National Park. It just happened to be school holidays. Mr. Tookie, my husband, is a primary school teacher. In fact, this year he's Hunter's primary school teacher. Mm-hmm. So the boys came with me, and we got to have a bit of a working holiday. And one of the reasons, which was really cool to be able to show them this place. And also really cool because one of the reasons we were there was to open or reopen the old but new hooker hut on the very, very amazing hooker track.
Right.
And you're right, I did have lots of great selfie photos for the gram because it was beautiful weather. Mm. And so if you haven't yet done the Hooker Valley Walk, I highly recommend. So that's a beautiful walk that takes you to the Hooker Lake, which is basically the end of the Hooker Glacier. And it is a must-do, I think, for all New Zealanders. It's a wonderful walk. The Hooker Hut is old but new because it's a 110-year-old hut that's been moved around the park and around the mountains in the park several times over the last century because the mountains are so dynamic. And now with the impact of climate change, we ended up with a hut on the side of a face where you couldn't actually get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there'd been rock fall on either side, and then it eventually got wanged with an avalanche. We picked it up in 2015 and put it in the yard in Twizel, and then sort of scratched our heads and had many debates about what to do with the hut. And then I'm really proud to say that somebody decided we should put it back. So we put it back in the park, quite accessible now. So we put it down in the valley. You can get to it within about an hour. Even I could walk to it. And certainly so did Hunter and all the kids from Araki Mount Cook National, Araki Mount Cook School, Village School, who immediately, and this is what kids do when they get to a hut, immediately poured inside and climbed up and down on the 100-year-old bunks and jumped up and down on them for an hour. So
yeah.
I can certainly to the resilience of the bunks.
Was it busy down there? Because just by chance, I happened to know a couple of other cool young women who were down there. It seemed like for a moment there, everyone was at Mount Cook.
Oh, yeah. That all happens in Mount Cook. It was busy. There was a lot going on. We also got together with our scientists at DOC to learn more about what's happening for care. So we spent time learning about that. But it's just a very, very special place in New Zealand. It's also a place where the impacts of climate change, you know, are right there in front of you to kind of hit you in the eyeballs so that, you know, you really do see. We know that climate change impacts our alpine environments far more in a far more accelerated way, and so you can see that what's happening there, and you know, which is kind of helpful because it makes you think twice about what you do. So you know, we all walked into the hut. There were no helicopters involved in anything to do with that day, and that was a deliberate choice, apart from the fact that it's not a very long walk. That you know, we want to be more responsible about that in a place that has been so impacted by it. However, The funny thing about this, which is my brilliant segue to our critter today, is that on the way home, so, you know, we're driving home and we got sort of somewhere near Geraldine, and I don't know if you saw the New Zealand Today show on
TAR,
TV
on TAR?
About the TAR, yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
But
no.
the, but it is very, very funny. And at one point, Guy Williams, because he sort of starts his story, his expose, if you like, in Geraldine, and he basically diverts much of his story into taking the mickey out of the population of Geraldine. And which I think is incredibly unfair to all the Geraldinians out there. But there's much reference to the dirty car of Geraldine. And I had been in Geraldine the day before, meeting with my staff down there. And I've seen this car on the side of the road. It's a car. And it's probably like someone's obviously driving around in it. And it's just covered in like lichen and bits of moss and stuff. So I immediately texted my employee down there and said, "Why didn't you show me the dirty car? What's going on?" And as we were driving out of Geraldine, I saw the dirty car driving in front of us.
Oh.
And I saw the lichen on the back.
Man, you're at an advanced stage of a dirty car. I mean, we washed our car today. It was pretty dusty, but you're at an advanced stage when you got lichen growing on it.
Yeah, and I'm starting to wonder if the owner of the dirty car, a lichen aficionado. Maybe it's sort of like, you know, I always take the wee spiders and daddy long legs out of the shower and pop them out the window or pop them in a pot plant because there's no way I'd ever like to hurt them. Maybe they just saw the lichen growing on there and thought, well, I don't want to take it off, because turns out, for those people who are liking the lichen, some of our lichens are very
You beat me to it.
Indeed.
Just before we leave that part of the world, Nicola, as you were talking about the hooker hut, I was having a look on the doc website and I was getting ready to, berate is too strong a word. I sometimes find the maps quite unwieldy on the doc website, and I was about to tell you, can you get an upgrade? And then I just started looking around it, and you've actually got a really beautiful map on there, and I wonder, have you upgraded the track map systems? Because it's very user-friendly.
Oh, I can't.
You don't know. I don't expect you to know.
But I do know that the hooker hut info has all been updated, and there are beautiful photos there on the really cute little hooker hut. I mean, it is, but it just to wrap that up, the hooker hut is sort of like grandfather's axe, you know, like it's sort of, you know,
yeah.
Got a new handle and then you replace the head and then, I know it's had a new roof and, you know, the builders who did it had to try and build it to spec, but, you know, so it's still got wooden window frames and that kind of thing. And the inside is all the original inside, but some of it was pretty well had it after 110 years of getting smashed around a mountain. So
yeah.
It's a wonderful combination of old but new. And I am not too old and tired and grumpy for shared accommodation, but I immediately said as I peered inside and had a wee look around, I can definitely stay here. Mm. And so I suspect it will get well booked out well in advance.
Okay, and back to the lichen. Our critter of the week is the Waitakere Fire Dot lichen.
Yes, so this is one of only six nationally critical species of lichens. And lichens to me are pretty amazing because they are, so you know, if you're trying to think of what is a lichen and how does it compare to moss, the lichen is like the crusty stuff you pick off a fence post.
Yep.
That's what I would do. And they're not a single organism by themselves, but they are a really intimate partnership between a fungi and an algae or a cyanobacteria. So the combination of them both together, the mashup, if you like, between the fungi and the algae creates the lichen, which I think is kind of neat.
Yeah.
And so this particular lichen is a beautiful golden yellow to orange sort of colour, you know, representing the autumnal tones that we see around us. And kind of just, you know, well, they always look a bit like a scab, don't they, that you've had on your knee for
too
long.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good description.
And it was discovered in 1932 by a woman called Lucy Cranwell from Anafata Beach in the Waitakere Ranges. And no further collections were made until 2012, or 80 years later.
Huh.
And I guess that's part of the problem, is that we don't have enough people liking our lichens. Oh, I did it again. and we don't have enough lichenologists who are interested in studying this stuff. And that's a bit of a shame, because it turns out, apart from the fact that, you know, this was one of our data-deficient species that we've now been able to translate into, it's nationally critical. It only lives within 1 hectare, I think. But they are quite incredible, because they can have quite amazing properties. So they colonize and stabilize bare soil and rock or dirty cars. They can fertilize and restore land that's been disturbed. Most importantly, they can live for hundreds and even thousands of years. And the oldest lichen ever found was 6,000 years old.
What sorts of extremes can it survive?
So lichens can live anywhere, right? So they can live in Antarctica. They live from the tropical climes of the equator right up to the Arctic. They're on the mountaintops. They're down at the seashore, like this particular one.
Could they live in
And
space?
they have even lived in space. Maybe they had a dirty spaceship with some lichen on the outside.
Yeah, it's all set to go. There seem to be some barnacles and lichen. They're not sure how that happened, but yes, commence the countdown.
Yeah, I mean, what is quite amazing is that what's happening is the lichen are combining their superpowers to use energy from the sun to produce carbohydrates to nourish both sides of the mashup, if you like. So, in some ways they might appear to be kind of a primitive organism, but in other ways they're actually highly technologically advanced. And being able to exist in space on the top of Ōrākei Mount Cook, and in every place on the planet, I think that's a wonderful thing indeed. For this particular species, though, they are very little known, and in the same category as our fluffy, much beloved kakapo. And there may just be things that we can learn about from this lichen that we can't afford to lose. So,
Yeah.
my plea, I suppose, to everyone out there is, if you are interested in the science and the nature, maybe consider becoming a lichenologist.
Is Alison Knight a lichenologist?
Alison Knight.
Author of Lichens of New Zealand, an introductory illustrated guide, downloadable as a PDF.
I would say so. I would say that Alison Knight is more than a lichenologist. I
That might be a
think
good
she
start for
might.
someone who has a sense they might end up liking the lichen. They could download that PDF, see if they've got the vibe for it, then head to university. Although I understand it's scarcely taught in New Zealand uni, so they might have to learn it themselves and then start teaching others.
Oh, I think so. I think that PDF is highly worth a look because once you start, all I'd have to do is look around the fence line on the property. I'm bound to find some lichens. I'm now desperate to know what kind of lichen is growing on Geraldine's dirty car. Maybe some of the listeners will find out
Yeah, I'll
about
have to put Alison Knight on it.
it. And Alison might need to update her field guide to include it. And maybe we need to move actually beyond lichen the lichens and look in the lichens.
Geraldinus automotiva. Could you please, we've got a picture of this Waitakere fire dot lichen on our website, rnz.co.nz/Jessie. Could you please just give us a brief description and then give it a attractiveness rating out of 10?
Sure. So it is like little orange discs. In fact, I was reading a book with Hunter this morning. He's reading all about the Great Barrier Reef. It almost looks like an orange version of an aerial view of the Great Barrier Reef. So out of 10, I don't know, it's probably a 2, isn't it?
Rock coral. How about we call it rock coral?
Well, yeah, it kind of is rock coral.
Yeah.
Similar arrangement.
Makes it
Yeah,
sound a
there you go.
bit nicer, doesn't it? But yeah, probably 2 out of 10. People can make their own mind up online. And Nicola Tookie, you have a fantastic weekend. Great to have you back at work, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Jessie. Bye.